Welcome to season 5 of Swiss Impact with Benedikt. I'm Sveta.
And I am Ben. The topic of season 5 is impactful investments. How can you make a difference with your capital?
Our guests, who are managing impact investment funds, business owners, thought leaders, will empower you to invest with impact.
In this season, we will showcase various impact investment funds who are contributing to SDGs, better known as Sustainable Development Goals, as defined by the United Nations.
There is no excuse. Shift your capital to create positive change in our world. Your children will be happier, you will feel fulfilled, and make money.
We will broadcast every Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. Central European Time, here on Swiss Impact with Benedikt. You get more when you give back.
So always invest with impact.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening to everyone. And most of you must be going through simmering hot summer days. Especially in Europe, we are, where all the records are being broken. So please drink a lot of water, stay safe, and work at reducing your CO2 emission.
Welcome back to Season 5, Episode 7, dedicated to impactful investment opportunities. Once again, it has been such an interesting week. I was surprised to hear that even traditional brick and mortar companies are getting interested in our TV show. Just last week, one of the major fossil fuels trading companies approached us for participating on our TV show, which unfortunately we had to refuse. So we advise businesses out there before approaching us, please transform, incorporate sustainable development goals into your business models, and then come back renewed with positive impact, and we would be more than happy to broadcast you at the TV show.
So watch our channels or our show at as many channels as you want. It's on the smart TV, social media like LinkedIn, Facebook, and it's of course on YouTube on the link youtube.com/Swiss Impact. Or you can listen to us on the Spotify, like most of the people nowadays apparently listen to us. And remember to share our program with all your friends and family who are interested to learn or invest in the amazing companies, businesses, and funds of our sector.
Yeah, and before we share your story, Ben, before you share your story, I wanted just to wake up the appetite of our audience, because today we have, I think, the youngest speaker at our TV show, 16 years old, and completely dedicated to solving plastic problem on our planet. So stay with us and you will learn what are the solution to our plastic issues on the planet. Now, Ben, what's your story? What did you prepare for us?
Something today I would like to say a few words about existential threats.
Sounds very positive.
Thank you. I remember this was somewhere in 2014 when an astrophysicist, Martin Rees, gave a speech at one of the TED Talks, which is one of my favorite, where he summarized few of the existential threats facing mankind. The most important, what I remember him saying, is that we humans fret daily about raising food prices, paying our rent, going to work, where are we going on vacation next. But on other hand, when we have an existential threat like climate change, destruction of nature, plastic in ocean, somehow we seem to ignore it. Especially our policymakers and political leaders. Somehow their brain do not seem to comprehend or act on long-term threats, however large or existential they may be.
Well, this phenomenon is actually called deliberate ignorance, choosing not to know, and as a consequence, not to act.
Okay, this is something I learned new. So let us look at example. You must have read everywhere in the news that whole of South Europe seems to be on fire at this moment. In Spain, in Italy, even in France, the forests have caught fire. Yet the EU Commission, especially the large countries like Germany, are increasing the number of coal power stations and burn more fossil fuel, meaning emitting more CO2. We also know that plastic is killing our oceans, and yet in the last 20 years, we have been destroying life on land, air, and water with plastic, especially with the single-use ones. And we have been aware of this threat since a long time. In 1950s, we were producing only 2 million metric tons. Today, we are producing more than 300 million metric tons per year. The governments and the global policymakers are all looking into recycling and waste management, rather than regulating plastic producers and businesses which are using plastic in their products. For example, let's look at one of the countries, China, which is the world's largest single-use plastic producer, which has been doubling its production nearly every couple of years. Just in the year 2020, China's total production of plastic products amounted to more than 78 million metric tons. It is not only the world's largest plastic producers, accounting for one-third of the global plastic production, but it's also the world's largest plastic waste. So they are producing plastic waste, I think something like one-fifth of the total world's waste production.
Right, so thank you so much for this depressing information, Ben. But I hope that this will, however, light on the minds and help overcome the earlier mentioned ignorance, which many of people are currently still in, and ignorance to our environment, and of course, ignorance to people living next to them. And with this, I'd like to invite our young guest of today, who shares, by the way, the same birth country as you, Ben, which is India. Hazik Kazi from Airways Foundation. We are happy to welcome you today.
Hi, Hazik.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? Where are you right now?
I'm good, thank you very much. Right now, I'm in Dubai. How are you guys doing?
We are all excited to hear your story. But before that, let me quickly introduce you to our audience and why such a young person like you is already at Swiss Impact with Benegis. So you are, as far as we know, 16 years old and currently studying in the Hodgkin School in US. You are passionate about oceans and tackling plastic problem, which is so awful for our oceans and marine life. You have designed and created a ship called Airways, which is a smart ship that cleans our oceans. You have also established Airways Foundation, where you are working with youth of today to bring a systematic change on how do we interact with plastic. The foundation focuses on educational initiatives, giving workshops about perils of plastic and digital platforms which offer plastic alternatives. And you're also speaker at various forums highlighting the issue of plastic and, of course, what is the solution about it, which we would like to hear in our conversation today. So welcome, Hazik. It's great to have you with us.
It's great to be here.
Thank you. So what is your story? How come you're just 16 years old and creating such an amazing, huge impact?
So, well, my journey begins when I was much, much younger. When I was in grade 4, I was around 9 or 10 at the time. And at the time, my teachers had showed me a documentary about the plastic waste problem and how it affected our marine ecosystem and our oceans. And to see so much plastic, something that we use like every day, right, without a second thought, and we just mindlessly throw it away, and all of it just ends up in the oceans, and it affects the marine ecosystems in ways that I really haven't thought of, right? It's like we always think of plastic as like use it and then you just throw it like out of sight, out of mind. But in reality, there is actually no throwing it away, right? Like it actually goes into the marine ecosystems and even in landfills and etc. And it affects the marine life. And just the marine life, like they mistake it for food and then they consume the plastic. And this fills up their stomach because they're not able to digest the plastic, right? And because of that, they feel full when in reality, they're actually starving for nutrition, right? And because of that, they die. And that is a very, very gruesome death, right? And what's also really terrible is that since the fish actually consume this plastic, who eats the fish? Us, right? It's ironic. We're throwing it away, but it's actually coming back to us. Even researchers has found plastic actually being found inside of the fish that we consume. So fourth grade me was horrified at this. I really, really wanted to do something about this. And an opportunity arose in my school. There was this club starting out called the Dead Ed Club, where we were challenged to create a solution to a problem that each one of us faced in the club. So, and this could be anything. I remember some of my friends created an anti-stress club for some of his friends in a society, or another person created glasses.
At the age of nine.
Yeah, and yeah, it was incredible how like smart everyone was and such solutions that everyone came up with. I, of course, because I saw this as the perfect platform to actually do something about this problem, and I came up with Ervis. I came up with it when I saw a whirlpool going down the sink. You know how like when you wash your hands and the water just goes down the sink and creates a whirlpool. So I was like, why can't we use this same thing to like capture the waste from the surface of the ocean and like maybe attach that mechanism onto some kind of ship? So I quickly rushed to my room and drew a rough model of some kind of like a kind of ship, very futuristic design. At the time when I first modeled it, it kind of looked like the USS Enterprise from Star Trek. That led on to me giving a small speech at my Dead Ed Club in my school. And fortunately for me, this video was actually sent to the Dead Ed headquarters in New York. And about a year later, I was very fortunate to be invited to speak at the Dead Ed headquarters. And yeah, and that's where my journey just began. So.
And could you tell us about your experience in the United Nations High-Level Political Forum?
Yeah, so I was also fortunate, like in my journey, I was invited to speak at multiple events, not just that TED Talk, but for more TED Talks around the world in Italy, and also in the United Nations High-Level Political Forum, as you spoke, because I was trying to advocate for the oceans and push for a change on even a governmental level. And that experience was really amazing. It was just thrilling to speak to people who were who had lots of power and also the capability for lots of change. I mean, everyone is capable for change, but I mean, to be honest, each one of us has different levels of power, and to speak to some of them and try to push for them to actually like, you know, do something about it was really, really exciting. And really,
are you talking about the same United Nations that we all know?
Yeah, it was, I don't know, like for me as a child to speak at that level, which not everyone gets to do, and actually do something about that. That was one of like the biggest moments of my life. I remember like, my mom taking like a recording of me, because this was online, of course, because it was during the pandemic. And my mom was taking a recording of me actually speaking. But the best part was I got to speak to them and actually speak towards like people in high governmental position and actually like actually push them for bringing a change, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, trying to bring awareness to people, like even if it's just one person, is huge, right? Just that one individual to stop using that one straw. And for me, to speak to huge organizations and huge governmental or huge governments was big. So yeah.
But did they help you to build the ship, the Airvis?
Sorry?
Did they help you to build the ship, Airvis?
So Airvis, the ship, is purely my own passion project. It's mainly through the Airvis Foundation, which was set up after a few TED Talks that I had done. Then I had noticed that, I went through TED Talks, I had noticed that a lot of people, I mean, while they were really, a lot of youth especially were really, really interested about trying to do something about this problem. And I wondered, instead of just the TED Talks, why couldn't we focus this on a more educational perspective? So I set up the Airvis Foundation, and that's where we do education initiatives, and we also do incubation of ideas, such as Airvis the ship. So it's so this is mainly through as a private organization, rather than a governmental level. But yeah, we're still also looking for development. We're still in the prototyping stage, but we're looking forward to getting Airvis the ship and actually building it and seeing it, clean the oceans, right? So
yeah. Are you also aware of Bojan Sloth? He's from my city in Delft. He was also your age when he started thinking about developing the ship to collect.
Yeah. Us. Yeah. So I had, when I was first in grade four, I had watched his TED Talk. When we were coming up with our solutions. So it was really amazing to see a person who also had a similar mindset and who also wanted to do something about this. And he was definitely a really, really great inspiration. And of course, I've heard that, looking at him, it also shows that this journey isn't easy, right? He also had his own setbacks, but yet he recovered and he actually pushed forward and, and is trying to drive to actually get, trying to also clean the oceans. And that's just a huge, huge inspiration for me as well.
How is your ship different from his?
Yeah, so I believe he uses more of so mine is a more I believe he uses more more of a net model to capture the waste, while I use more centripetal forces to capture the waste and store it in the ship. So mine is also a much more robust model to capture all the waste from the surface of the ocean. So those are just some of the similarities. Also, there's some differences in how the segregation of the plastic waste happens. For me, it is through advanced filters. Once it goes down, once it gets captured, it goes down into these tubes and gets filtered by size. And then also we use robotics to change, to filter out marine life. Whereas he his model uses more of centrifugal forces to filter out the marine life. So yeah, there are quite a few differences, but.
But I was thinking he also uses a lot of natural forces, like the ocean current or the water waves to collect the plastic. Well, if I understand your ship correctly, you are using artificially generated whirlpool effect, but that must be extremely energy intensive.
Yeah, that's one thing that we were looking into. Of course, his model uses currents to actually, for the net to actually capture the waste. And then for us, energy was a big thing because, we don't want to use coal or non-renewable fuel sources, like, you know, fossil fuels, because, you know, while you're cleaning when you're cleaning up the oceans in one area, you shouldn't really contribute to another problem as well.
Yeah, exactly.
We looked into fuel sources like renewable natural gas and also solar. Like if you the model of the ship actually has solar panels on top of the ship, so those solar panels collect produce energy for the ship to collect the waste and drive it.
And could you say, like, why is your foundation so important for people and the world? And who is your target audience?
So my foundation, we focus mainly on the youth. That's the main target audience, like, whenever we do. So we have, like I said earlier, we have education and incubation. So education is kind of like the initiatives we do. Like workshops or social media initiatives such as our What It's Earth series. It's kind of like a talk show with experts, and those are mainly geared for the youth, for the children, because I found that they were really, really interested in trying to solve a problem, and also they were also really passionate, because again, we are the ones, the youth, we are the ones who are inheriting this planet. And of course, we don't want it to go to waste, right? So, children also really get really easily inspired as well. So we thought we could also make a huge impact trying to target the youth and trying to make them aware, because, and we also target like people of all places, of all economic situations and social, like in India, in more rural areas, we have done workshops in schools in rural areas, as well as schools in Dubai, which is more on like, you know, the private schools in Dubai. So yeah, and it's also open platform. We just don't target only schools, but also anyone can also join in some of our initiatives, like the Blue Circle, which is more of an open platform for discussion for anyone to join. So yeah, again, it's just mainly the youth that we try to impact.
And would you be focusing on plastic, or are you focusing on plastic which is out there open in the ocean, or are you also going for the source, like the river, where the rivers are joining the sea and things like that? Are you also planning to put your ship there at the source? Or put it in the ocean patches?
Yeah, definitely. So right now, our current model of the ship, I mean, it's also open to changes, major changes, since we're still in the prototyping stage. And, you know, that's one of the more crucial stages, because you need to, and that's the stage where you actually secure your funding, your initial funding, right? And try to prove that this works, right? And then after that, creating your, like, prototyping is continuous, right? And then as you create, even through the minimal viable product, still keeps on changing. I also thought about like it targeting sources like rivers, but this model of the ship is specifically designed for the oceans, because of how large the ship is. So, yeah.
Okay, how large is it?
Yeah, so again, these the specifications aren't completely decided on just yet. It's supposed to be as big as a normal vessel-sized ship. Like cargo size ship, perhaps, because we were deciding on using existing models of ships, which was also one idea, using existing models of ship, which were really fuel efficient and economically efficient, and fitting the waste mechanism on that to save cost and actually, you know, try to get it faster into the oceans and prove that it works. So yeah.
Would it be larger than the Enterprise or smaller than the Enterprise?
That's a good question. I don't really. Well, probably. Well, I mean, that's still subject to change. I mean, since in the prototyping stage, anything could change. If I, if we wanted to make it, I mean, again, it's important to create it fuel efficient and cost efficient. So, but yeah.
I see. Could you tell us more about the three initiatives, Hero, Hub, and Hygiene? What are those?
Yeah, so those are part of our foundation goals. So our foundation currently, we're doing a lot of restructuring at the moment, but all of our things that we do just falls in the Hero, Hub, and Hygiene. Hero being our main education initiatives, more like a short term, towards schools, towards schools, and also towards also our open platforms. So we have the Blue Workshops, which is workshops inside the schools. Blue Circle, which is kind of an open platform where anyone can join around the world, and it's based on this thing called the Harkness Method of Education. Where it's just not one teacher who's sitting and explaining everything, but rather, it's like a discussion platform where there is one mentor who is guiding discussion. So, and that is open for anyone to join, provided they're in the age range of teenagers and young people, young kids. And then also we have the Blue Warriors, which is kind of like a framework, like the TED Ed Club, which any school can implement. So as the Airways Foundation, we don't have to send it's not like workshops done by us, but rather workshops done by leaders, youth leaders or teachers in the school. So we just provide them resources and mentors for sessions or any materials that they need. But any school can implement it. It's not like a direct workshop done by us, but rather done by the school themselves. So that's like the Hero program. So it's like education initiatives. And the Hub is more like platforms, digital platforms and social media initiatives, such as the What It's for What It's Earth series, where we have guests coming on. It's a talk series where we have guests coming on talking about a specific part of the ocean, about ocean pollution and ocean conservancy. And we also have a plastic waste calculator, as well as a zero waste marketplace where we sell eco-friendly and plastic-free products. And of course, last is the hygiene program, which is more like an incubation space where we're developing things like Airways the Ship, and also helping other children to incubate their ideas around ocean conservancy, and we provide them resources to actually push ahead. Because, you know, each kid, they have their own moonshot project, right, that they want to do. Like, they're probably a lot like me, but not fortunate enough to have the resources that I did while creating this. So that's our aim, to like help them build their ideas and see it, make it a reality.
And how many students has Airways Foundation engaged with right now?
So we have engaged with about 1,500 to 2,000 students so far. Especially, we did a bulk of this in the pandemic, especially. Before the pandemic. Because we were going to individual schools. Of course, when the pandemic started, a lot of it, we went really more digital, right? So there we were focusing on more like of the Hub initiatives, like the social media platform, social media projects and the digital platforms, as well as programs which which are more open to all, like the Blue Circle. So now that the restrictions have loosened a lot, we're looking forward to starting our workshops again, and focusing on individual schools and engaging with them actively, not just by, you know, doing one workshop and then we're done with the school, right? Because like if you just do one workshop, it doesn't really stick with them. But if you try to actively inculcate this in the syllabus, and this is how, like, this is even how I started off, because our teachers showed me a video about this, and they also gave me a platform to fight plastic pollution, and also so like help schools like that also provide their students platforms to fight climate change and plastic pollution, and work towards Ocean Conservancy. So yeah.
And how did you adapt, or how did your organization adapt during the pandemic?
Like I said a little bit about it earlier, we were doing a lot of workshops. That was our primary focus before the pandemic, doing workshops in individual schools. But now, because of the pandemic, we had to go digital. So we tried one blue workshop online, but it was a little difficult to, you know, inspire the students and actually, like, because it was also the beginning stage of the pandemic, so not a lot of schools and not a lot of people had gone fully digital yet. So we created the Blue Circle at that time. So that was something born in the pandemic period. More of a discussion platform, bringing in mentors, and lots of students around Dubai and India had joined. And also those students, because so we had engaged with them over a period of 2 months. And because of that, because they were so actively engaged and so actively passionate, they also launched the Blue Warriors program in their schools. So me and my friend, we launched one in our school, a few other students who were part of another school called Fountainhead School. So they had launched another Blue Warriors program in their own schools. So yeah, we were focusing on mainly, instead of reaching out to people, we were mainly engaging with our current audience, right? And actively trying to dealing with the people who are currently passionate and who are already part of the Erebus network. So yeah.
In which countries are you currently operating? I mean, the foundation.
Yeah, so we are currently mostly coordinating in Dubai, UAE specifically. UAE specifically Dubai and India. We focus in all around in Dubai. All around in India, like my hometown of Pune, which is in Maharashtra, then also a few other states. So we're also looking to conduct our programs in US, because I had moved there. I had moved last year and did my 10th grade in my new school in US. And that was really fun. I also look forward to bringing programs around that area. And also with the help of our partners, like the POP movement, expand to other places like in Mexico or in Africa. So yeah, we're definitely looking to expand where we
are. No, POP movement is Protect Our Planet movement.
Yes, the Protect Our Planet.
Not the POP in music.
Yeah.
One of the leaders have already been on our TV.
Absolutely.
Ash Pachauri.
Yeah. Ash Pachauri, he's a great, he also was like a mentor to me. And he was really great, really, really great person. Yeah. It was really phenomenal meeting him and having him as a mentor to me in this journey. He really helps us with our initiatives and our programs in the Erebus Foundation, and really help the Erebus Foundation get to that next level. So yeah.
Okay, and you wrote that one of your main objectives is to help draft better policies. What do you mean by it, or how are you planning to do it?
Yeah, so when I say help craft better policies, I mean, because we also want to work at a government level, because there's lots of aspects in plastic pollution and Ocean Conservancy, right? Like you have the governmental scale, which is like, and then you have the individual level, and then you have the science and technology. So like, and a lot of students also like are interested in all, like a lot of different sectors, right? Also being the governmental area. So, and also with my work in the United Nations, we also try to actively like work with governmental governments and governmental organizations to actually help to advocate for better, more change, advocate for more, for better policies. So yeah, just, yeah, definitely, because there's a lot when it comes to ocean to trying to protect our oceans, right? So.
Exactly.
What are your expansion plans or growth plans? So where do you want to be in 5 years?
Yeah, so.
10 years? You are so young, you can also have plans for 30 years.
Yeah, well, I mean, we haven't looked that far in the future, but definitely we have plans. So like for our next 5 years, like I mentioned earlier, expand to like more regions of the earth, right? More countries, more, and try to spread the word about the plastic pollution crisis, because it's going to affect everyone, right? All the youth, and climate change is also a huge, huge deal. It's going to, and if we don't do something about it now, then we might not be able to do something about it later, right? And just try to, again, like I also mentioned this earlier a little bit. I didn't talk too much about it, but we also restructuring a lot of the projects in the Airvis Foundation to make it more, you know, more like more, just to take our take the organization forward and take those next few steps in our journey to actually, you know, spread the word about the plastic pollution and help the youth tackle this problem and get rid of plastic in the oceans, right? And yeah, so definitely trying to make it more in line with our goals, trying to get everything in line with our vision, right? And also, you know, expand our team a little so that we are more diverse, getting more perspectives on board, getting more projects, getting more ideas, especially from the youth, because again, they're like really, really passionate. So, and they are they are also like full of ideas. Like I mentioned in the TED-Ed clubs, nine-year-olds coming up with ideas like Vision for the Blind or, but yeah, it's definitely.
How many projects do you have in your incubator right now?
In our incubator?
Yes, in your genius incubator, because you said like you also encourage other projects and help them.
Yeah, so so we help students come up with ideas like I remember we helped students come up with like a smaller scale like plastic collector, especially like in rivers and small lakes, like you said, because you know, like I said earlier, the Airvis ship was made in mind just for the oceans. So another student who was part of the Blue Circle came up with an idea for like the small places. And then there was also a friend of mine who came up with an idea called like a kind of repellent that is placed on plastic so that the fishes and marine life won't really consume it. So that was another idea that was come up with by my very close friend. I also helped him, so we also helped him come up with this idea and actually like take that to like help him like incubate it. So, and there are a few more ideas as well, so we really try to help the other youth, not just like my idea but also others.
So how can youth join Airvis Foundation?
The youth, well, we mainly do initiatives on social media, and so that's, I think, the main place to join. You can also reach out to us by email. You can reach out to me, hazik.kazi@airbus.org. And then you can ask, ask to join the Airbus network and ask to be part of the foundation, or request to have a workshop in their schools, right? Or you can also sign up to one of our programs, like the Blue Circle, which is again open for all. We're also planning for it, and we should hopefully launch the Blue Circle. It will be our second edition. We did the first back in 2020, I believe. So yeah, just looking forward to that. If you are interested, you can keep an eye out for signups. We're also on Instagram and Twitter and other social media. There's a lot of ways that you can reach out to us.
Are you also looking for partners and investors for your foundation?
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, you can't, I mean, in this world, at least, you can't really do much without money, right? It's a bit of an unfortunate reality, but you really do need money to keep going forward.
We know that. Yes, that's true.
Yeah. So we are definitely looking for investments and funding to try to take this idea to the next level. So right now this is mainly funded by my family. Mainly my dad funds the foundation, and also my, you know, the environmental advocacy that I do. All so that is mainly funded by my dad, but we are also accepting we're also trying to accept donations and look for funding. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
And can you tell us, by the way, how can we consume and dispose plastic in a more responsible and sustainable manner?
Right. Yeah, that's a big question, right? That's the question that everyone's interested in. What you can do is, there's a lot of ways that one can reduce their plastic debt, which is something... This is something that we coined. It's basically the amount of plastic that we as individuals leave behind on this planet. Because, you know, once we die, our bodies go back to Mother Earth, right? It's like a cycle, right? The food web. But plastic, it stays behind for a very, very long time, and it's really deadly for the ecosystem. So multiple ways to reduce the plastic debt. Of course, you can keep in mind the 5 R's, reduce, reuse, recycle. 3 R's, sorry. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Really simple. Reuse the plastic that you use. If you buy a water bottle, you can use it twice, right? You don't need to throw it away, right?
More than twice, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Then there's also, of course, recycle your waste. And then reduce on plastic consumption. So these are just simple ways. You don't have to create a huge, massive ship, right? Just to try to solve this problem. But anyone can bring about a change, whether big or small. But it is still change regardless, right?
Yeah.
That's great. We wanted also to ask you to share a call to action for our global audience. What would you say to everyone who's listening to you now?
Right. So the biggest thing I would say is, don't be ignorant. Don't be, don't surround yourself in a bubble, right? I think this was also mentioned earlier, don't willingly be unaware of what's going on in this planet, because this happens a lot, right? Even when humans first came up with this concept of plastic, nobody really thought about its consequences, right? Nobody really thought where it's going to go. We just made ourselves blind to this. And because we were ignorant, we created this huge mess that we are in, climate change, plastic pollution. And now it's our responsibility, like, and now we have to get out of it, right? And that's the only way we could do that is if we are more proactive, if we are more willing to learn about ourselves, our the earth. That's just my message. Don't just bubble yourself. Be out there.
Wow, that's so inspiring, Hazik. It's really a huge pleasure that you could come today to our show to inspire the youth, but I also hope elder generation, because when you say that, well, we will going to inherit Earth and we need to do something about it, I hope some of the elder ones really feel ashamed that you are kind of taking it with no anger inside, just getting into action and solving it. So to everyone who's listening to us, doesn't matter how old you are, please support the Airvis Foundation and Hazik in his amazing mission.
Thank you so much.
And you will get also the honorary membership on chamomile.ch on our Impact Community. Please register and we will upgrade it for you. Welcome to our Impact world. So I hope with the time you will get funds also from Impact Investors.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you
for inviting me. Yeah, it's been so amazing to be here and talk about my journey and also and just also give a few words to whoever's listening. Again, it's all about like changing one individual, right? Helping them refuse one straw, and that can make all the difference in the world.
Absolutely.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you, Hazik.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, dear viewers, we finish the 7th episode of season 5. And please remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/SwissImpact. And then you will be always updated and inspired by young and elderly ones, whoever is doing positive impact on our planet. So
and looking forward seeing you all next week. We have an amazing guest who walked all the way from India to US and has done so many amazing things like making films on the BBC, etc. But for that, you have to wait till next week.
And everyone who thinks you're ready for the TV show, you create impact and want to get global reach, please get in contact with us. We are happy to welcome you soon. And until now, remember that you get more when you give back.
So always invest with impact. Bye for now.
Bye.
Hi, we hope you enjoyed this episode of TV show, Swiss Impact with Banerjee.
Make sure you check out the next one and also find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Spotify, podcasts and any of your favorite social media places.
And please subscribe to our channel so you know when we release new episodes.
And also leave us some feedback to help us grow this awesome impact community and join it.
We look forward to sharing the next episodes with you. And until then, you get more when you give back.
So always invest with impact.